You know, one of the really good things about my job here at West Heights Community Church is the staff team that I get to work with. And this morning I want to just highlight one team member in particular, and that is Terry Kruskamp. Terry Kruskamp is officially in charge of our house church ministry. Unofficially, he helps out a lot with our worship, especially in the area of administration, and all this as a volunteer member of our staff team. He's a pretty great guy and he contributes a lot. Now, recently, Terry was credentialed by our denomination as a licensed lay pastor. That's with the Be in Christ Church of Canada. And so this is kind of a big deal. This is a milestone. And ordinarily, we'd want to celebrate this in person with cake, and we can't do that, but we didn't want to ignore this milestone. And so, Terry, on behalf of your church family, I want to say congratulations, and we want to say thank you for the many ways in which you contribute to the life of our church. And so, thank you. And to everybody else, if you think about it, send Terry a quick note of congratulations. This is a milestone that's worth celebrating. Please join me in prayer now. Lord Jesus, this morning we want to say thank you for Terry. Thank you for the many, many ways that he contributes to the life of our church family. Thank you for his faithfulness and wisdom. As we celebrate this milestone in his journey of following you, we ask for your blessing to be upon him. Lord, as we enter our teaching time this morning, we ask that you would give us an awareness of your presence with us. Amen. There is a scene from the TV show Friends where Ross, that's one of the main characters, finds out that his friends Joey and Rachel are in a relationship, and it kind of shocks him. And so here's how Ross responds.
I'm fine.
Really?
Absolutely. I'm fine. Totally fine. I don't know why it's coming out all loud and squeaky, because really, I'm fine.
You know, in this scene, Ross is obviously not fine, but he's trying to pretend like he is fine. And I love this clip because there's so many times that we try to pretend like we are fine, like things are good, when they're really not. You know, one of the ways that we pretend that we are fine is when it comes to our connections or lack of connections to other people. You know, it's really easy to say fine when I'm fine, when really what we're feeling is loneliness. We're feeling that there's a lack of deep connections. And in this current season of crisis, many of us are wrestling with the reality that we're not fine. Well, last week we talked about how the Trinity teaches us that God is relational, and that you and I have been created to reflect this God who is relational. And one of the things that we said is that missing people is not a sign of weakness. Rather, that ache for other people that is a reminder of who we were made to be like, this God who is relational. We are made to enjoy the good gift of being connected to others. Well, this morning we want to continue looking at how we've been created to be connected to other people in real and meaningful ways. And so this brings us to our scripture reading this morning, which comes from Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to ask Ella to read it for us this morning.
Genesis 2, verses 18 to 25. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." The Lord God had formed all of the wild animals. He had also formed all the birds of the air. He had made all of them out of the ground. He brought them to the man to see what names he would give them. And the name the man gave each living creature became its name. So the man gave names to all of the livestock. He gave names to all of the birds of the air, and he gave names to all of the wild animals. But Adam didn't find a helper that was right for him. So the Lord God caused him to fall into a deep sleep. While the man was sleeping, the Lord God took out one of his ribs. He closed up the opening that was in his side. Then the Lord God made a woman. He made her from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to him. The man said, Her bones have come from my bones. Her body has come from my body. She will be named woman, because she was taken out of a man. That's why a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. The two of them will become one. The man and his wife were both naked. They didn't feel any shame."
You know, this passage begins with something that should get our attention. God says that something isn't good. Now, the reason why this should stand out is throughout chapter 1, God repeatedly says that his creation is good. But here, something isn't good. At least it's not good yet. And this is where we see that God designed us to be connected to other people. See, in these verses, God is addressing that when he created Adam, that something was missing. That it was not good for Adam to be alone. And that what was needed was for somebody to come alongside him. Now, the idea of a helper that was suitable speaks to the reality that what was missing for Adam was somebody who was compatible with him, somebody who would complement him, somebody who he could connect with. Now, we use the name Adam as a name, but in Hebrew, it literally means man. And elsewhere in Scripture, the name Adam is used to refer to humanity beyond a specific individual, beyond a specific gender. And so as we read this, we shouldn't get stuck thinking that this is all about one person, but rather this is an invitation to see Adam as representing all of us. That it's not God's good for us to go through life disconnected from other people. Now, recognizing the need that existed for Adam, God brings all the animals of creation to Adam to be named. Now, as an aside, this practice of naming is significant. It is God the Creator delegating the responsibility of creating for his, caring for his creation. And it's within this activity of naming that God acknowledges that there's nothing in his creation that's at the same level as humanity. And in verse 20, it says that no suitable helper was found. You know, as good as God's creation is, and as amazing as our pets might be, this is a reminder that they were never created to fulfill the need that we have to be connected. Yes, we have some pretty amazing animal companions, pets that can comfort us, pets that can keep us safe, pets that can make us smile and laugh. And when the people around us aren't who they should be, we might find ourselves wondering if our pet is the only thing in our lives that won't let us down. All of that might be true. But what is also true is that they were not designed to fulfill in us our longing to be connected with other people. And this is what is being communicated in this ancient story for us this morning. That despite how good all of God's creation is, that there's no substitute for being connected to another person. Now, in recognition of the need of Adam, God goes to work creating somebody who would be compatible for him. And the text describes God removing a rib from Adam and creating another person out of it. Now, this is one of those times when we could read something in Scripture and spend a whole lot of time examining the details of the story and miss what is being described for us. I mean, the imagery of God removing a rib from Adam certainly creates an interesting visual, doesn't it? And there are some interesting questions that we might want to ask about that. But the point is symbolic, that right from the beginning, God created people with a unique connection to one another. A connection that's not shared with any other aspect of God's good creation. See, Adam and Eve are literally made from the same stuff. Now, Adam's response when he sees Eve tells us that she's somebody she's unlike anything he's seen before. His response is to say, "Finally, I found somebody who's like me, somebody I can share myself with, somebody who understands me, who gets me, somebody who can experience things in the way that I experience things, and somebody I can communicate myself with." You know, in some ways, we might be able to appreciate that response. You know, those moments when we encounter somebody who we just click with. Somebody who cares about the same things that we do. Somebody that we could talk with for hours as if time doesn't exist. There's a sense when we meet somebody like this that we have found somebody who's unlike anybody that we've ever met before. Now, this passage is often used to describe the powerful connection that is a part of a marriage relationship. But I do think that it speaks more broadly to the connections that we long to have for other people. See, whether we like to admit it or not, we all need to be known, and known at a deep level for who we are. Verse 25 describes the type of relationship that Adam and Eve had when it describes them as being naked and unashamed. Now, we could take this literally, and that might not be wrong, but again, there's more to it than Adam and Eve just being really comfortable without clothes on. Rather, the idea of being naked and unashamed communicates that God created us to enjoy relationships that are transparent, vulnerable, and mutual. See, Adam and Eve had nothing to hide from each other. They were open books, sharing and receiving freely from one another. And this is what was life-giving. I believe that this is the type of connectedness that we want to have with others, but that we are often afraid of. See, risk is built into relationships. Depth with another person requires vulnerability, and to be vulnerable means that we might be hurt at some point. And we don't like to be hurt, and so the temptation is to not allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And this is how many of us live our lives. We maintain an image of being strong and self-sufficient, that we don't need others. You know, we say things like, we got this, or I'm fine. But the result of living this way is that we never experience the type of connection with others that God designed us to be at our best in. And then there's also the risk associated with having others be open with us. You know, are we willing to receive the vulnerability of somebody else? To be open and understanding to them as they are, with their flaws and their brokenness. There's a riskiness of getting involved in somebody else's life. I mean, what if we don't like what we see? How will we get out of it? And am I willing to allow them to impact who I am? Relationships are just plain risky. Let's also acknowledge that relationships can result in real injury. You know, for some of us who are listening, we have been wounded deeply in some of our past relationships, perhaps even a current relationship. And so please hear me when I say that while in this message, I'm talking about how we were designed to be connected to others. And while I think this is something that we need to pursue, that we need to utilize wisdom in how we engage others. You know, because sin is a factor in our world, relationships aren't what they ought to be. And so it's appropriate to take time to get to know whether or not someone can be trusted with our vulnerability. And it's possible that at some point we're going to wake up and realize that our trust has been betrayed. And in these situations, it's fitting to reevaluate our connection to the person who has caused us harm. You know, relationships, they're risky. And the safe thing to do is just to say, I'm fine, and to avoid getting real with other people. But perhaps one of the benefits of this current crisis is that more and more of us are realizing that we're not fine, that we're lonely, and that like Adam, there's a sense that something is missing in our lives. And so perhaps one of the positives that will come from this is that we will have a new appreciation for real connections with real people. Folks, a key part of the story of Scripture is that we were not created to go through life alone. We were not created to be autonomous individuals, but we were created for relationships that are transparent, vulnerable, and mutual. And so for some of us this morning, we need to start by first admitting that we're not fine, that we have this longing inside of us to be connected to other people that just isn't being met in ways that are life-giving. I think that this step of admitting is key because it creates space for us to recognize what we are missing, and it creates space for us to begin to entertain how are we going to seek out appropriate connections with other people. Another thing that we might need to do is to take a risk. What I'm talking about is taking the risk to put ourselves out there, but also take the risk of receiving somebody. You know, I've known people in church circles who have consistently said that they haven't felt connected to other people at church. And you know what? This is sad. And we all need to be aware of this because this is a problem that we can do something about. You know, if we are the person seeking a connection, we need to remember that meaningful connections take time. They take a consistency of putting ourselves in situations where we can get to know people, taking the risk of striking up conversations with no certainty that we're going to get anything in return. But let's also acknowledge that for others of us, the risk is not in reaching out, but it's in being willing and able to receive those who are reaching out, to be honoring of the risk that they are taking. You know, some of the best friends that I have are people that I wasn't sure I wanted to be connected with at first. But because of the prodding and the encouragement of other people saying, why don't you just lean into that? I leaned forward and I found a connection that I was not expecting. And this morning, as we close, I want to leave us with two ways that we can act on this as a church family. The first is to sign up for our contact list. You know, we're working on a really simple contact list that we want to send out next week through our email list. And the idea is that this will help us be able to reach out and to connect with each other. But here's the thing. We need you to opt in to be on this list. And so you can do this by clicking the link in the description below or clicking the link in the FYI Friday blog. And I know that already a large number of us have done this. That's great. But we'd like to have more people and give more people the opportunity to do so if they would like to. You know, by doing this, you are putting yourself in a position to have other people reach out to you. Now, once we have this list and once it's been circulated, the next thing is to actually do something with the information that you have in front of you, to reach out, to send an email, to make a phone call. And this can be risky. And I want to invite us to not just reach out to the people that we're already comfortable with, but perhaps to take that step, that risky step of calling somebody that we don't know so well. Perhaps the phone call might go like this. Hey, I saw your name on the contact list. I'm not sure if we've met before, but I wanted to introduce myself. And in doing this, we are putting ourselves in a position to meet the need of somebody else in our church family. And really, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to have an awkward conversation with somebody and maybe you'll laugh about it afterwards. Oh, I have met you before. Oh, I'm sorry about that. And you know what? This is a season of grace. This is us trying new things and trying to take care of one another. And so we can be forgiving if somebody calls us up and reintroduces themselves when we've met a million times before. Lastly, today, right after the service, we are going to try something new. See, normally after church, we would be able to go out into our foyer and be able to, you know, sit around and just talk with each other, maybe have a cup of coffee and just, you know, stay as long as we can, as we need to, and be able to wave and say hi. But we can't do that right now. And so we want to try having a virtual foyer. And so again, if you look in the description of this video, or if you went to the FYI Friday blog, you would find a link to that would take you to Zoom, and we have a foyer set up there, and we don't have anything planned other than just to create space for us to say, hey, how are you doing? Pop in, say hi, leave. You can stay as long or as short as you want. We have no program, we have no games. We're just making space so that we can see each other. It does require that you have a webcam on either your phone or your computer, your tablet, and a microphone so that we can see you. And you know what? I'm really looking forward to it because I think it'll give us an opportunity to be able to be encouraged by seeing each other's faces. And so please come to the Zoom foyer after church. Please join me in prayer. Lord, this morning we recognize that you have created us to be connected to other people. And for some of us, this is something that is missing. And so this morning, we ask that you would develop in our lives deep, meaningful connections with others. Lord, give us the courage to take the risk to reach outside of ourselves. And give us the love to receive those who reach out to us. Lord, grow us in your love. Amen.